is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Hand off middle. First down. Touchdown! And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the Cougars' last game and look ahead to next week. Cougar Nation, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
After an embarrassing loss at TCU, the Cougars were back home against the Red Raiders of Texas Tech, and they're back in the win column, defeating the Red Raiders 27-14. Welcome in to Cougar Nation. Matt Biamonte, Mitch Harper. For the next hour, we'll be breaking down this game, and we'll get an early sneak peek look at the Longhorns a little later in the program. And of course, like every episode of Cougar Nation, we're taking your calls, 801-575-8255. What'd you like about the win? Any concerns going forward? And the fact that Quinn Ewers is likely to miss the game this Saturday against the Longhorns, does that increase your confidence in beating Texas this weekend? Give us a call, 801-575-8255. Would love to hear from you. But Mitch, let's get right into it. Our takeaways from the win against Texas Tech.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
Big win for the Cougars as they take down Texas Tech 27-14. Takeaway number one, Matt, BYU's defense stepped up. It led by the defensive backfield. They forced 5 turnovers on the night. This is an opportunistic defense. They'll give up yards. They'll give up third down conversions. But they find ways to make plays that swing the momentum in their favor. Big night for the defense.
Huge night for the defense. And I thought it was a fairly complete effort from start to finish. They were forcing turnovers all over the place. And Kalani Sitake, he loved what that defensive effort did in beating Texas Tech.
The guys' effort and the resilience, especially on defense, allowed us to get this win.
Could not agree more. I think it was the defense from start to finish. Now, it helped that the opening drive by the offense was a touchdown, to where maybe a little stress was taken off the defense knowing they had a lead, but the defense led the way all throughout.
Here's Kalani on those 5 turnovers.
I'm happy about it. I want to see more disruption. Jay does too, and so we know that there's guys still getting used to the scheme, getting used to the system, and so there's a lot of plays that we could have made still. That the call was set up perfectly for the throws that they gave us and the plays that they gave us, and we didn't capitalize on it. So I thought we could have had more, believe it or not, you know, disruption and turnovers, and at least get the quarterback, get off his timing so we can maybe generate some sacks and things like that.
They definitely could have had more, and they rattled Texas Tech's true freshman quarterback, Jake Strong. We talked about it on Saturday during our Cougar Sports Saturday program, noon to 3, every single week here on the station. We talked about how there's a big difference between a redshirt freshman in Josh Hoover and a true freshman in Jake Strong. He was rattled all night. BYU was opportunistic, and they feasted on him. He had 3 interceptions. He only had 51% completion rate. Like, BYU's defense has flaws, and we knew going in that this was not going to be just a miraculous turnaround in year one, but it was going to be a group that you just felt better about the potential. Last year, there was never a feeling of at any point where you thought,
no,
can they come up with a big turnover and a takeaway to get the momentum back on their side? You never felt that. This defense, even though they're flawed, they have the ability to make some big plays. Eddie Heckard was outstanding for BYU.
Yeah, he was. He's the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week, and I thought the safeties, Crew Wakely, Ethan Slade, made a lot of plays, and Coach Sitake agreed.
Other than the drop interceptions, Crew had a really good game, and then I thought Slade played really, really nicely. That, you know, we still have Raider in there as well, so it's unfortunate we've had some of the injuries at that position, but it's good that we have depth there.
You wouldn't really know it. I just feel like Ethan Slade and Crew Wakely, especially against Texas Tech, but even going back to Cincinnati and Kansas and even TCU, I mean, TCU threw the football everywhere, but I just think they've done a really nice job. I've never looked at that position and felt like, wow, the depth isn't there. They're not pulling their weight. Like, in this game in particular, assignment sound, making tackles, making plays, except for Crew Wakely dropping what would have been a pick 6.
But they'll want that one back.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's get to takeaway number 2. Boy, was it nice to see Aiden Robbins back in the mix. He led the Cougars in carries, and although there weren't any explosive plays from Robbins, his longest run was 13 yards, and his average was only 3 yards a carry, you just felt a physical presence at that position that you don't get from LJ. And LJ had a nice game, 10 carries, 93 yards. But that feels like that's your tandem at running back. And you can have success running the football first time all year that you felt like, okay, the running game still wasn't great because you take up that 55-yard run from LJ. The average is not good. But they made enough plays in the running game to win the football game.
And for him to have a 49-yard performance on 16 carries after being gone so long, dealing with a rib injury, which coaches and players, even Robbins himself, didn't know exactly when it happened. It's been kind of a unique deal where we haven't seen Robbins at his best at any point this season. The guy that we were hyping up in week one of fall camp, we just haven't seen that at all in the season. But we saw flashes of it. I mean, that 3rd and 13, he picks it up. That's his longest carry of the night. And he puts the hammer down for good on Texas Tech, who had a little bit of a window that was open to maybe entertain a comeback. But Robbins has a lot of potential. There was a reason why some, you know, preseason outlets thought he could be a first-team All-Big 12 player. He was a 1,000-yard rusher for a terrible UNLV offensive line. I think we all just assumed that, you know, he was going to step in and be outstanding for BYU. I think he still can be really good. But now, with LJ Martin having so much experience, it does create this nice 1-2 tandem. Kalani and even Aaron Roderick today said that LJ, even though he didn't play in the fourth quarter, he's fine. It was nothing injury-related. I guess they felt that they needed to go with Aiden Robbins and give him that those carries. And I think it's a good thing long-term as they get ready for Texas.
Here's what Aiden Robbins thought of getting back on the field and wearing, really for the first time in a, you know, a meaningful way, wearing the blue and white.
It gives you a little bit of confidence as well. I kind of told the guys, you know, it because I watched it on TV last week. It was heartbreaking for me to, you know, hear the announcer say we had one of the worst run games in the country. And, you know, I personally took that to heart because I'm like, man, that's that's not who we are, especially with who we got up front and who we got in that running back room. And, man, it's just we just came to practice with the right mindset. We grinded. You know, we did more than what was required of us. And, you know, I kind of showed on the field.
150 yards for the ground attack. It was a much-needed boost for this group, and hopefully it carries over into the future. 801-575-8255. You can load up the phone lines. Give us your thoughts on this BYU-Texas Tech game or your thoughts coming up on BYU-Texas. Takeaway number three, Matt, missed opportunity to get a bigger win, a larger margin of victory in this
one. Did you feel that as much as I did? I felt like, gosh, a win is a win. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to come on today and say this is no good. Like, they had to get back and get a win, and it was a nice win. I just strongly believe in college football. It's very different than professional football. The emotional swings of young student athletes is different than the professional level. And if you get an opportunity to have an explosive win, because if Crew Wakely takes that back to the house, you're looking at 34-7. Who knows what happens after that? Maybe it gets to 41-7. Or even if they score that other touchdown, 34-14, it's just a bigger confidence boost. Not only is it a win, it's, hey, we can play with these dudes. Like, we just took these guys down. Yeah, they had a true freshman quarterback, but we took it to them. We can play. I just feel like there was a little missed opportunity in that regard where there could have been a real jolt of confidence with a signature dominating victory heading into the Texas game.
I agree with you, and it's pretty remarkable, though, when you look at the 13-point win over Texas Tech. It's not often in BYU's history where they're smoking a BCS Power 5 team. It doesn't happen often. I mean, there was the UCLA game in 08 where they win 59-0, but, I mean, you go through the history books, there's not many double-digit wins over P5. So I do agree with you that I feel like it was a missed opportunity to say, you could have won this game by 20. You could have put up 40 points.
Yep.
But at the same time, I have to remember, it is a progress game in the fact that they're showing the ability to, you know, outplay an inferior opponent, because I think Texas Tech was inferior with a true freshman quarterback and still win by double digits. And it never felt truly that the outcome was in doubt in that second half because BYU had all the momentum. I mean, again, there was a little window, but still that was kind of, you know, it was more a case of BYU was just playing sloppy. It didn't feel like Texas Tech was actually a real threat with that freshman quarterback.
I agree. And, you know, not to beat a dead horse here, Mitch, but look, this team struggled this year, right? Like, there's been some highs, but there's been some lows. And they have not played a complete football game yet, and that's still true. Like, that first half was great. Second half defensively, really solid. The second half offensively, not good. Not good enough. At one point, they had 4 out of 5 drives in the second half, 3 and out. There's just too many 3 and outs, not enough plays. They had 23 fewer offensive plays than Texas Tech. And look, if you have a chance to have a pick six, or, you know, I felt the play calling got a little conservative, and Aaron Roderick earlier today said, hey, we just did not want to turn the football over, which is all fine and good. It totally makes sense. Winning the turnover battle has greatly benefited BYU, but you also have to be thinking long-term, which is how do we build confidence, build momentum? The only way to do that is to score points and move the football. You can't just win a football game and say, hey, it's all fine and dandy. So, that's probably all we need to say about that at the end of the day, Mitch, but I just wish – I guess, really, this is the final point. I'd feel a lot differently about this upcoming game against Texas had they won 34-7.
And we will talk more about that upcoming game against Texas a little bit later. Let's get your phone calls, too, 801-575-8255. Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning. BlueBarnWealth.com. Taking a break on the air, so we'll get out to some helmet stickers and take your phone calls. It's here on Cougar Nation, powered by KSL Sport.
Cougar Nation.
A 75-yard touchdown run down the far sideline.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
It's also available on podcast. Cougar Nation podcast. Just search Cougar Nation on all podcasting platforms and you'll see it. Apple, Google Play, Spotify, Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte with you every single Monday night. We also host Cougar Sports Saturday. We'll host extended pregame for BYU in Texas coming up this Saturday from Austin, 9 a.m. We'll get you started for the Cougars and the Longhorns. It's a big one for BYU down in the 40 acres. And Cougar Nation's brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Every single week here on the program, we dish out some helmet stickers acknowledging some of the key players and moments from the last BYU game.
Cougar Nation, helmet stickers. Mitch and Matt dish out the stickers for BYU's best players this week.
I'll start things off, Mitch. I thought Ethan Slade was fantastic at safety, and he's waited a long time as a walk-on to make a name for himself. And look, you look at that interception midway through the fourth quarter, that kind of sealed the game for BYU. That was nice. But you know what really stuck out to me in this game for Ethan Slade and why I'm giving him one of my helmet stickers this week? He is incredibly assignment sound. You do not see bad angles. You don't see many missed tackles. He's just in the right place at the right time, making plays, and that's what you need. Like, look, in a perfect world, you'd love to have some rock star Andrew Rich who is capable of getting to the league. And BYU's had, you know, they've been blessed in that regard that they've had a number of safeties throughout their illustrious program that has been good enough to play at the league. But when you don't have someone who has NFL talent, you just want them to be assignment sound, make plays, be in the right spot, prevent the big plays. That's what Ethan Slade has done time and time again this season. And I just, man, I think him and Wakely are proven to be a really good safety tandem that you can win with those guys playing at the level they're playing at.
He's done a solid job, that's for sure, and been very impressed with what he's provided to that safety spot. My helmet sticker, staying in the secondary, Eddie Heckard. We talked about him a little bit in the opening segment, but two takeaways, one of which results in a BYU defensive touchdown. Heckard's outstanding. He's one of the best cornerbacks I've seen come through BYU in the 21st century. I said that coming in the year. I think he's lived up to it. He's just been great. I think he's an NFL defensive back. You can play him at safety. You can play him at nickel. You can play him at cornerback. He can just do it all. And this was, you know, it's great to see that he's the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week. I'll admit, I voted for him in my ballot to because I thought he deserved it. And I just think that he's showing that he warrants being an NFL draft pick, too, because he came up to this level from the FCS to the Big 12 to really showcase himself against Power 5 talent. He's proving he belongs. And I think the next phase for him, obviously, next year is the NFL draft. I think we're going to hear his name called next April. He's outstanding. Heckard has been a stud in every sense of the word.
Before we get to our next helmet stickers, 801-575-8255. That's how you get in touch with us here at Cougar Nation. Your thoughts on the win against Texas Tech, and you can also give us your thoughts on the upcoming matchup against Texas. Two more helmet stickers to go, Mitch. My last one. This might be a little bit of a surprise, but I'm going to give it to LJ Martin, and here's why. You look at the numbers, you got 10 carries, you got 93 yards, more than half of those come on one run. So what was spectacular about his performance? Well, I thought that 55-yard run, which did lead to an opening drive touchdown, changed the game for both sides of the football. Because how many games this year have they gotten behind, whether it be a turnover or the offense stalls out and something happens and then you're trailing? This was the first time against a meaningful opponent where it felt like, wow, there's a little breathing room. There's a little sigh of relief, like, okay, we're at home. We scored first. Let's play loose. I just thought that run changed the whole tone of the game for BYU. And look, credit to him. He made a guy miss. That's what it wasn't just like he took a pitch and didn't make a play. Like, he had to make a guy miss and then got the 55 yards. And that was one of the biggest plays in the game because it changed the way that BYU's played this year. So tip of the cap to LJ Martin for that run.
It was a big sigh of relief because you thought, okay, they can run. It's alive. That run ground game is alive there. My last helmet sticker is Darius Laster. What a catch. That grab, Matt, in the second quarter, that one-handed grab, OBJ style. Look, you know me. I love the history of BYU football. I don't try to get caught up in the moment. I try to respect all the moments, the great players, the great talent that's rolled through here. That's one of the best catches I've ever seen from a BYU player. I mean, Puka last year at Boise State was incredible. Austin Colley had a great grab. I remember in 08 against Washington, a deep ball. Johnny Hartline against Utah in 06. Clay Brown in the 80 Holiday Bowl. But, man,
you're talking about the one-handed touchdown over Weddle, though, in 06, right?
Well, I think, yeah, the over 06 against Weddle. I just think that Laster catch was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It was outstanding. That guy, I slept on him a little bit coming into the season. He's been so much more for this BYU team. And let me, real quick, too, Matt, I do want to give a bonus helmet sticker. Tyler Batty, he was on the receiving end of some spitting, and, man, he stood in the fire of the spitting from Texas Tech.
I bull rushed one of those. It was a field goal, and I just pancaked one of their offensive linemen, laying on top of him. I get up, and this dude just comes out of nowhere, just starts saying all sorts of stuff, and then spits in my face. And then, honestly, actually, to end the game as well, their right tackle, 76, did the same thing.
Can you believe that?
Yes.
I 100% believe, but it's like, why would a player do that? Is this the moment, though, where the honeymoon's finally over? BYU and Big 12 teams? Is this the new Wyoming, Texas Tech?
No.
Where it's going to get nasty?
Not yet. You think? I mean,
that's pretty low. Oh, spitting in a player's face?
It's incredibly low.
That's the sort of thing that carries for years, where that becomes the stigma.
I would say that would normally be the case, except for you really have to respect how he handled it, because he didn't make a big scene out of it. He didn't start throwing punches and shoving him. So I just feel like the way he responded, which was the correct way to respond, maybe de-escalated the situation a little bit, but a classless move by Texas Tech to do stuff like that. It's unacceptable.
Former Texas Tech quarterback B.J. Simons, do you remember him? He was kind of in that, I think, between Cliff Kingsbury and Graham Harrell. He was in between in that Mike Leach quarterback factory they had rolling there. He claimed on X that Batty was lying. He broke it down. He did a video breakdown. This is a former Tech quarterback, B.J. Simons. I think he was in the league for a moment. He claimed that clearly Batty's lying. Texas Tech people on social media are claiming Batty's lying. I thought that's where I feel like this could cause some bad blood going forward between BYU and Texas Tech.
I see where you're coming from now. Not so much from the BYU side, but from the Tech side.
Yeah, I feel like BYU fans see that and go, are you kidding me? Why would a guy, the guy that's on the good hands team for community service.
And can I also point this out too? And this is why I think he's telling the truth. Why would he lie on a made PAT early in the game? It's an insignificant moment in the game.
And the ref's not going to call it. The ref called it, said suspended, ejected for spitting. He called it in the speakers at LES.
Yeah, it's weird that Tech has been out of shape about that, because I don't even know if that player was going to really swing the game, per se. It was just...
And how the player reacted to leaving, he almost embraced the taunting.
Exactly.
It wasn't like if you got told, if you got claimed that...
You spit on someone and you didn't
do it.
I'd be
like, no. Like, what are you talking about? I would be furious. He almost like embraced it, being the villain.
Yeah, it's bizarre. All right, we'll take the break here. You can get to our phone line by dialing 801-575-8255. We'll take some calls right now. News, traffic, and weather on the other side. We'll discuss what's trending up and down with this BYU football team.
Cougar Nation.
The Cougars picked it up!
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
27-14. The Cougars get back in the win column. They're 5-2 on the year. They take down Texas Tech. The game had a lot of interesting stuff. We touched on the spit. We touched on the five turnovers. There's a lot to discuss with this game, and we're not done discussing it, Mitch. Right now, let's continue the discussion with the win on trending up and trending down.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this football season?
I'll start with trending up, Matt. BYU getting takeaways. It's fun to see. They're third nationally in turnover margin this year. That's a testament to this new mindset, this new scheme from Jay Hill and this defensive staff. And I think also they got better players, too, defensively this year. But I just love what's happening where you know that this defense has the ability to rattle a quarterback and kind of put them into rest a little bit. I know the TCU game, that was non-existent. But even in that one, they had two takeaways. It's just a group that finds a way to make some plays. And I feel like that's something that you can build off of because BYU, well, you know, we'll get to it. But, you know, to have that luxury where you can create a short field for the offense, that's nice for BYU. And that's a trending up thing as they get ready for Texas.
Third in the country in turnover margin, plus 1.29 per game. That's going to win you some games. And that's a direct correlation to this game. And also, I think the Arkansas game, the turnover battle. For me, Mitch, trending up, Aiden Robbins. I just felt like that was a good debut performance. Nothing crazy, nothing earth-shattering, but something to build on. And look, they are not going to get to bowl eligibility if they can't rely on the run game in some form or fashion. And I felt like between Aiden Robbins and LJ Martin, you did enough in the run game to be trending upwards. So Aiden Robbins, it was nice to see him make a splash for BYU.
801-575-8255. You can hit up the phone lines if you'd like to weigh in on your thoughts on BYU football. You can also text us, too. Text BYU to 57500, and you can be part of our BYU text group that gets updates and notifications regarding BYU football and soon BYU basketball as they get ready for their first season of the Big 12 coming up 2 weeks from today. So BYU basketball around the corner as well. Trending down for me, Matt, is the BYU offense. That second half was not good. They only had 78 yards of offense, and the passing game only had 15 yards in the second half. 15 yards with a veteran quarterback. How does that happen? I was blown away by that, and I understood to try to kill the game and run the football, kill the clock, but it almost felt like BYU was timid to pass. They were almost afraid to pass, it felt like, and that was a little bit worrisome to me. BYU is 122nd nationally in total offense. It's remarkable to me that BYU's 5-2 with that sort of stat. You and I agreed that this team was more than enough capable to be 5-2.
Yeah.
I kind of get amused by some of these outlets and other publications going, how on earth is BYU 5-2? You had games against Southern Utah and Sam Houston was winless. It was pretty manageable. But it is shocking, though, when you see that sort of number for the offense. And then you see the scoring offense is 73rd, only averaging 27 points a game. That's just, they got to get better. They got to improve. And I just felt like that second half was so underwhelming, the way that they were playing so many three and outs up until that drive where Aiden Robbins has that 13-yard carry to kind of hammer out and close out the game.
Well, the defense isn't bottom of the league, or not bottom of the league, bottom of the country anymore. So I think that makes up for a little bit. The bummer is if your offense and defense are just middle of the road, you're 6-1 right now. I think you beat Kansas. Nevertheless, it's still an ABC game against Texas this weekend, so that's cool. But the offense, that's a really good point. They're just not trending in the right direction. I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's, Aaron Roderick talks so much about turnover margin, and look, they've won a lot of games that way, so it's hard to blame him. But you can't be afraid to score and move the football. Like, you can't be afraid to turn over the ball that you don't do anything. Like, what's the point of having a fifth-year senior quarterback if you don't trust him to make plays? And look, has Keaton Slovis made some bad decisions this year? Absolutely. Yeah. He has. No doubt about it. But you know who else did? A lot? Zach Wilson. And he went to the NFL. Look, Ty Detmer threw a lot of interceptions. He won you a lot of football games. Like, you're not going to beat Texas or Oklahoma, or West Virginia on the road, if what we saw against Texas Tech is what continues to happen. You have to have big plays. You have to put up more than 27 points. And that was there to be had. So I'm totally with you.
And I think also, too, there's just been a trend, even in some wins, Texas Tech, Arkansas, they don't put their foot down on the gas and finish the job emphatically. They kind of just leave open a little wiggle room for the opponent to feel like they got a shot. I mean, Arkansas, that was a crazy game, and it kind of gets forgotten. But that last minute was kind of nerve-wracking, where Arkansas is moving it down the field. You're thinking, oh, are they going to do the unthinkable?
Yep.
And so BYU's offense has got to get better. I think Slovis still, I believe that he's done enough that I feel like he can be an NFL draft pick. I do believe that. I feel like that stocks went a little bit down the past couple weeks.
Yep.
But I do think that guy, when given a big workload and gets protection, I think he can do a nice job. For whatever reason, the passing game just has not been as effective the past couple weeks. I do want to acknowledge the offensive line got better.
Yes.
And I think that they did a nice job. They set the tone in that first half when you bring up that 55-yard run. That's a byproduct of that O-line getting off the line, exploding off the line of scrimmage, and pushing their opponents back. And that's just been something we haven't seen much this year, so that was refreshing to see as well.
It's a shame that wasn't the group from day one, because maybe they'd be a lot further ahead. Because look, Connor Pay was the center in spring football. Kingsley was naturally at left tackle last year. I think it would have made a little bit more sense had it played out that way. My trending down is Crew Wakely having a defensive score this season. Just that was as good of an opportunity as one could have to have a pick six and to have not caught the foot. I mean, he dropped two picks. He had one before that, too, where he jumped over the route and it went right through his arms and they completed the pass. That was an amazing catch by Texas Tech, by the way.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Wakely, he's an impressive athlete. He was a Mr. Utah football out at Jordan High as a quarterback. You know, he switched to defense in his college career at Utah State. He was just kind of an out-of-sight, out-of-mind transfer portal addition as a walk-on, preferred walk-on. He's been a nice get. I mean, the guys that BYU is trotting out at safety, it's remarkable, and they're having success, and it makes you excited, the thought of what it could be in the future when Jay Hill gets more of his recruits. You get Micah Harper potentially back. I mean, who knows? You never know in this era of the transfer portal and guys considering, you know, what do they want to do with their business decisions, because that's what it is every offseason. Yep. But if you get Micah Harper back next year, you just like the potential, what can happen at the safety position. And because Jay Hill's handling it hands-on, that's his position that he takes care of. He played the spot. I like what they're doing, and Crew Wakely has done a great job, all things considered. Yeah. Outside of that, the dropped INT, and then that unsportsmanlike penalty at TC. But we forgive him. We forgive him.
He's doing a nice job, and I think it's a byproduct of Jay Hill. Like the two things that stick out to me about the safety group. Number one, as I mentioned when we were talking about Ethan Slade, they're just assignment sound. There's not blown coverages by the safeties. They're very rarely missing tackles, so they're in the right place, doing the right thing. The only player who does not fit that description this year has been Malik Moore. And what I like about what Jay Hill's done is, if you're not going to do it my way, you're not going to play. And that's probably hard for Malik to hear, but he did not play well enough. He was not taking good angles. He was missing tackles. Every opportunity he's gotten, he hasn't made the most of it, and then he's back to the bench. And I like that. You can't reward players for not playing good football. Like, you got to earn it. And Jay Hill has proven this year, we're going to play the best players, and people who do assignment-sound football, do their quote-unquote, and I hate this term, but I'm going to use it, those who do their 1/11th, they're going to play. And we've seen that with Crew Wakely and Ethan Slade, and it's worked out great. So I have really enjoyed how that's worked out for the BYU defense. We're taking the break here. More Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning. BlueBarnWealth.com. We'll take the break. We'll touch on that Texas matchup and maybe take a call. We'd love to have someone join in. Cougar Nation, this show's for you, so you got to get on the airwaves. 801-575-8255. Give us your thoughts on the win and the upcoming matchup against Texas. Back up to this.
Cougar Nation.
Touchdown, Cougars take the lead.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. If you miss any part of the program, subscribe to the podcast on any podcast platform. Just search Cougar Nation or go on the KSL Sports app. Let's get to the phone lines. Cougar Nation is all about you, the fans, taking your thoughts on BYU football. 801-575-8255. Tyler from Lehigh, got a question about this BYU-Texas game. What's on your mind, Tyler?
Yes. So, question with the game with Texas. Do you think it's going to be a similar situation with from independent era where I guess the BYU curse is there for Texas?
I don't think there's any comparisons between the independent era teams from Texas and what they have now, Tyler, because that program really struggled to transition away from Mack Brown, and it took them a long time, and BYU caught them at the right time. You have Taysom Hill, a dynamic quarterback, and you had Charlie Strong, who he proved to not be a very good coach, and their recruiting has been better. Look, Tom Herman wasn't great either, but he recruited a lot better than Charlie Strong, and that built up a foundation for Sarkisian to continue to recruit, and now he's actually a competent head coach. So I don't think there's any correlation between those independent Texas teams and the one you'll see this Saturday.
Tyler, trust me, I would love to see BYU win 41-7. I would love to see it. You know, it's crazy, too. BYU played Texas three times in independence. They won, obviously, the 2013 and 14 games. I forgot in 2011, BYU was up 16-0. I was watching that game.
I remember because I was in the stands.
You were
it
at
was
that one?
Painful.
I remember. I forgot they were up 16-0.
Apple had a touchdown in the corner, yeah. And you were feeling good. And then the offense, honestly, the offense looked a lot like they did in the second half against Texas Tech. Just fell asleep. Couldn't do anything. But, yeah, BYU jumped out early in that game and then just fell asleep at the wheel.
It's amazing how BYU not only beats Texas, they thump Texas. In 88, they beat them 47-6 in Provo. I mean, that game in 2013 was incredible where Taysom and Jamal with the go-fast, go-hard offense was just running wild. Taysom had, what, 259? Joe Tessitore and Matt Millen, that big thunderstorm coming down in Provo. I mean, it's amazing what BYU has done to Texas. I was looking through getting ready for this show and also for this week's game. There was a Texas Monthly magazine, September 2014, the Charlie Strong era is kind of a feature profile on their new head coach, and it said, can Charlie Strong get Texas back to national titles, ... or at least beat BYU? I'm like, these people were so shook by BYU, it was just amazing to see. Let's get back out of the phone line. Jesse from Orem, what are your thoughts, Jesse, on this BYU-Texas matchup?
Hey, first of all, I just want to tell you guys, I enjoy listening to your show. So thank you for what you guys do. My opinion of this Texas game, I was at the TCU game, and I came from Orem, you know, flew out there.
Yikes.
That was a really disappointing game, and I'm hoping that was the worst one of the season. But as far as playing the Longhorns, I think it'll be a tough matchup for our Cougars, but I do feel like this is going to be our make or break season game. And I have an inkling that the team will show up and surprise everyone and have a one score game in Texas. I'm not going to say we're going to win, but I feel like the boys are going to kind of get it together. And that the boys, at the end of the season, I think we're going to win two or three more games. I think we're going to upset Oklahoma, which we're not talking about tonight, you know, but it's going to be a night game probably in Provo. And everyone shows up for that, and the energy somehow comes to all those night games, and BYU does really well. But I think this is going to be a close game in Texas, but I think it's going to show I think Roderick's going to have, you know, a good game, and same with his offense. And that's my opinion.
Well, Jesse, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. You know what? I'm with you, Jesse. I'll tell you what. I feel like BYU does great in games, Matt, where they have no pressure on them. There's no pressure. Getting that win against Texas Tech, you did what you were supposed to do, getting that fifth win, getting one step closer to bowl eligibility. I just feel like this game at Texas, you're a 3-touchdown underdog. No one's expecting anything of you. Even if you lose by 30, I mean, Jesse experienced a 30-point beatdown in Fort Worth. People just go, oh, you know, Texas is better than TCU. That's kind of to be expected. That's what Texas will do. But I feel like BYU, in these situations where there's no pressure on them, they do rise to the occasion. They do play better. And as our question coming into the show, do you feel better about BYU's odds knowing that Texas is going to trot out a quarterback starting in his first game, Malik Murphy, expected to be the guy, or Arch Manning's going to get some first-team reps, according to Steve Sarkisian today? I feel like BYU's just going to do whatever it takes and bring in everything that they can to give Texas some headaches. Will they win? I don't feel confident about that. But I feel like I'm with Jesse. I feel like BYU is going to surprise and give Texas a scare.
It is important to note, though, Murphy has been in the program before this
and
year.
And he's good. And he's legit. A rocket of an arm. I watched their spring game, and he was the best quarterback in that game. He was outstanding. And he's
now,
built like KJ Jefferson.
He's inexperienced, so if you can force an early turnover, maybe get some pressure, you can rattle him. But this isn't – we cannot compare what happened Saturday with Jake Strong.
Sure.
A more fair comparison would be Hoover to Murphy in terms of been in the program for a little bit, had some time. You know, look, even if he was a true freshman, being there in the spring is a big deal too. So, but anytime you have a first-time starting quarterback, you don't know. It does open the door slightly for BYU. And the thing that's going to be so interesting is you have two kind of interesting storylines that do not agree with one another. On one hand, you've got what you've mentioned. This BYU team, for whatever reason, in these games where they're big underdogs and they're playing big brands, in the Kalani era, they've done quite well in these situations. USC, when Keaton was there, Wisconsin, Tennessee, like even Arkansas earlier this year. Yeah. No, they weren't a huge underdog there, but
8 points, though.
Yeah. They weren't nevertheless, they were an underdog. And then at the same time, when the time came out that it was early afternoon, I instantly just got out the pen and did one line down and one down line to the right, an L, because they just have played so poorly in that time slot. So what's it going to be? Do they rise up against a great team like they've done so often, or does the day game curse continue?
I think they'll rise up because I think of Aiden Robbins and LJ Martin. I think they'll provide a nice lift. You know, it's unreasonable to expect to this point of the season anything more than maybe 140, 150, and that's still pretty light on rushing yards, but I think they could get to that. And I think, you know, Keaton Slovis has got to be great. He's got to be outstanding. This is the type of game where if Keaton
Slovis... Play calling's got to be aggressive, too.
I agree with that, but if Keaton Slovis wants to make a paycheck in the NFL, this is the game to do it. Yep. If he tears it up against Texas, who Aaron Roderick said might have the best defensive line he has seen in his 24 years of coaching,
He saw some nice ones at Utah, too.
But this Texas one, I mean, Jalen Ford, the linebacker, preseason Big 12 defensive player of the year, this defense is stacked at Texas. They're ready for the SEC. The personnel they got in the depth in the trenches, they're legit. This is not the weak-minded, soft Texas team, kind of like what you see for USC now. This is not a soft team. Texas is tough. They're gonna, you know, you hit them in the mouth a little bit, they'll respond. But I think that BYU will play well, and I like what Thule and Taggart and Vong Pichon bring at the linebacker spot, and I also like what I saw from the defensive line too. Batty, hopefully John Nilsen plays. That's kind of an underrated big deal. He's dealing with an ankle. His right ankle got banged up last Saturday and never returned. He got hurt in that first drive of the game, but I feel like Jackson Cravens has done a really good job. I just think that BYU's got nothing to lose. They got nothing to lose, Matt. If you get blown out, the world will say, yeah, that's Texas. They beat Bama. They're one of the best teams in the country. But if you give them a scare, even if you lose, but it's maybe by, you know, 7, 10 points, that could be a confidence boost where you say, you know what, we're not going to face anyone better this season. Maybe Oklahoma, maybe. But I think from a talent perspective, Texas is the most talented roster you're going to face. Just go out there and play. Don't have any fear. Just go out and play, and I think BYU can show well.
I would prefer a Kansas-style loss where you've got multiple turnovers because you're trying than a conservative approach like we saw against TCU.
Go down swinging.
Go down swinging. If it's a Ty Detmer five-pick afternoon, so be it, right? If it's a Steve Young in between the hedges against Georgia, that doesn't bother me. I just don't want to see another – I mean, listen to the stat line. This is Keaton Slovis' stat line from the win against Texas Tech. 15 of 27, 127 yards. He didn't even average 10 yards a completion. 2 touchdowns, 56% completion rate. His quarterback rating was okay, but 127 yards. Yeah, I don't want to see that. I'd rather see, 18 for 40, 4 picks than just some conservative thing.
And kind of a benchmark for Slovis, for fans out there. Roderick wants Slovis or any quarterback that he's got to have about a 10-yard average per attempt. He threw 27 attempts. That would have been 270 yards. Nowhere close to that.
No.
So he's got to be at 10 yards per attempt to have a chance, to be around with Texas. So we'll find out. 1:30 p.m. Saturday, we'll get extended pregame going at 9 a.m. It's going to be a fun one. I mean, 40 acres, I've never been down there. You have, but I'm excited to see
you. I got
that
a laundry list of food places for you. And my advice to Cougar fans who are going, Go early, soak it in. Who knows when the next time is going to be, if it ever happens again. This is an iconic college football venue. Enjoy it, and hopefully the Cougs can shock the world.
Big thanks to Blue Barn Wealth, our proud sponsor of Cougar Nation. Go subscribe to the podcast. We will talk to you on Saturday from Austin, getting you ready for BYU and Texas. Go check out the podcast on KSLSports.com. Have a good night, everyone.